Take your Bible, please, and turn to Genesis 6. We've been in Genesis for some weeks now, and we'll continue there this morning. We've been talking about origins, and that's what the book of Genesis is all about. Today, we're going to talk about Noah and the Ark, but before we get to Noah and the Ark, there's a lot of stuff I got to talk about, so we'll be in this chapter for, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks. To get the full meaning of what the Word has to say to us. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 is where I want to begin, and I'll just read a few of these verses this morning. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So I'll finish the reading right there this morning, then we'll pick up as we go through here in the weeks that's coming up here. In the message today, I'm going to be preaching about Noah and the ark. But before we get to the ark and all that goes with that, what I want to dwell on today, though, would be the reasons. What are the reasons in the Bible for the flood? Now, the judgment of God in the Old Testament in Genesis 6 was the flood. The Bible tells us in the future, there will be a future day of judgment on this earth. But it will not be by water, will not be by flood, but it will be by fire. And so the New Testament talks about that. And so what God did in the past with the water, in the future one day, He will do with fire in the coming judgment. Now, because we want to understand why the judgment came in the Old Testament, and why we want to understand why judgment is coming on the earth in the future, then it's important for us to really look at this and understand what's been going on here. So the answer for why God sent the judgment in the past is found in the Genesis flood in the book of Genesis that we're going to be talking about. Now the first point today is this. God is both merciful and just. He's a God of mercy, but He's also a God of justice. And this is where we'll dwell this morning. Now, as Christians, we tend to focus, and there's nothing wrong with this, but we tend to focus on God's mercy and God's grace, many times at the expense of His justice. And so, as we think about this message today, there's mercy and there's grace here, and we don't need to overlook that, but we also need to think about the justice of God. Yet in God's justice, what we also understand is that there's forgiveness and there's grace. But I think the reason that we are quick to forget about the justice of God, the judgment of God, is because He is so patient with us. God is a patient God. God's a loving God. God's a God of mercy and grace, like I said. But there also comes a time when His patience runs out. Now, the justice of God one day will fall in full measure on this earth, and that's what the Bible teaches us, as it did in the days of Noah. People in Noah's day never witnessed the judgment of God. They did not know what rain was because up until this time in the creation of the earth, there was no such thing as rain. The Bible tells us that the earth was watered with some kind of mist that circled the earth. So when Noah talked about flood coming, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. When he talked about judgment coming and that it was going to come by water, by flood, by rain, they didn't have any idea what he's talking about. That's why when God told Noah to build the ark and he started building the ark, that people in his day, they thought he was crazy because they just didn't have any idea what was going on. So in the New Testament, though, the Bible tells us, gives us some idea about what that day was like. In Matthew, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 24, listen to the New Testament interpretation of the flood of Noah and the days of Noah. In Matthew 24 and verse 34, but of that day and hour, no one knows. That's talking about the Lord coming again. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the Bible here in the New Testament is talking about the days of Noah that we're talking about this morning. Verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, in the days of Noah, they were just living life as we live life today. They were making a living. They were raising kids. They were, you know, enjoying life. They had jobs. They had responsibilities. But the thing they did not do is make God a priority. And they had forgotten God. And they had gotten away from God. And so that was the downfall of what happened. But Jesus said, in the last days, and that's where we are today, it'll be the same way. There'll be no priority of God. We'll be going about life, just living life, and you know, people will forget about God, and they won't be thinking about the second coming. They won't be thinking about a judgment that is to come, and there'll just be that kind of attitude. And so that's how it was, though, in the days of Noah. And then the flood came, the Bible says, and took them all away. One was taken, one was left. The idea there is that, you know, it's going to come sudden. It's going to come when people don't expect it. In Peter, 2 Peter 3, here's another passage in the New Testament that I wanted to share with you. But listen to this. Here's what the New Testament says about the days of Noah and the last days. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. That's where we are today. Walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, for this they willingly forget. They don't want to think about God. Don't want to think about the future. Don't want to think about any judgment that is to come. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water by which the world that was existed perished, being flooded with water. And so the New Testament confirms what the Old Testament is talking about in Genesis 6, a worldwide flood. God promised Noah in Genesis later that he would never destroy the earth by water again. That's why when you see a rainbow, that rainbow is a picture of God's covenant, God's promise that he made with Noah that he would not destroy the earth by flood in the future. But in Noah's day, it was a worldwide flood. It was the destruction of humanity, the destruction of humankind that fell on the earth in that day. You know, when people come to the Bible, a lot of people really don't want to read the Bible as history. They want to see it as just a some sort of religious book that has a bunch of myths and a lot of fairy stories and stuff like that in it. That's not the Bible. The Bible is a book of history. The Genesis flood was real. Noah was real. The book of Genesis is a history book. The book of Genesis tells us why things are like they are in the world today. The book of Genesis tells us why, we deal with all the stuff we deal with, all the trouble, all the problems, all the things in life today that we deal with. The book of Genesis tells us why that happens. And so as we come to the book of Genesis today, I want you to understand, we're talking about a real event that happened. Noah was a real man. The ark was a real boat. The flood was just not a local flood, but the flood was a worldwide flood. Now, let's talk about some principles. If you really want to understand the Bible, then it's really important to understand principles. So let's talk about some of those principles. Number one, everything that is wrong in the world today, according to the book of Genesis, according to what happened right here, everything that is wrong in the world today is because of sin. And that's just the simplest way to put it. Okay? Principle number two. Sometimes God will bring special calamity upon a nation, upon a location, upon the earth. The flood was a special calamity that God brought on the earth. Now, in everyday life, we deal with stuff, you know, we deal with calamity, and we deal with trouble, and we deal with problems, and all that. But what happened here was a special calamity that God sent in judgment on the earth. It was a worldwide flood. Now, we see in the Bible where that happened. At other times. The northern kingdom of Israel, when he sent the Assyrians in, they came in and took the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity. God's judgment fell on the northern kingdom. Later, in the southern kingdom, the nation of Babylon came in and took them into captivity. What about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, in the book of Genesis? That was a calamity. That was a judgment that God sent. That is a principle in the Bible. Sometimes God sends special calamities. Why? To get our attention. To bring us back to where we need to be with Him. Number three, God always warns before He brings the judgment. The Bible tells us that before the flood came, how many years did Noah preach? 120 years. He kept warning the people, the flood's coming, judgment's coming, it's going to come, you need to get ready, you need to be prepared for it. How many people were saved in the end? Only 8 people. Noah and his family were the only ones who went into the ark, who were saved from the judgment of God. Before the calamity comes, before the judgment comes, God always sends a warning. Over and over again, every Sunday, you have preachers who stand, you have teachers who teach through the week, you have people who witness, and what do they talk about? They talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared to meet Him. And so, over and over again, we hear this, but as I read to you earlier, what does Jesus say about the last days? He says it's going to be just like the days of Noah. People won't have a priority for God. They won't be thinking about judgment. They won't be thinking about the second coming. He said in the last days, there'll be scoffers and mockers who make fun of it, who make light of it, who deny the Bible, and who deny that there is, an event that is yet to come to this earth. Principle number four, God is patient before He brings judgment. I read to you from 2 Peter a while ago. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God is patient. And I'm glad He's been patient with me. And I'm glad He is a patient God. But see, one day, His patience will run out. And then, a fifth principle here is that God brings judgment. And the Bible uses a phrase that I want to talk about here. This phrase is found in Genesis 15, and here's what it says. And it's repeated throughout the Bible. When iniquity is full. You know what that means? When God has had enough, then the judgment will fall. The first major message of the Bible is that God will punish sin. The first major message of the Bible is not that God loves us and that He has a wonderful plan for our life, but the first major message is God will punish sin. And so, from Adam to the flood, there were 1,650 years. That's when the flood came. That's how old humanity was, 1,650 years. From that time, in Genesis 6, what God said is this, okay, I've had enough. And because I've had enough, I'm going to send the flood. I'm going to send the judgment. The second major message of the Bible is that God will forgive our sin. And so even in the midst of the judgment, even in the midst of the calamity, even in the midst of what was going to happen here, you know what God was doing? He said, you know, I love you, I'll forgive you, come to me, you'll find grace. And that's exactly what Noah did. The Bible says God found that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why do we give invitations? Why do we invite people to come to the Lord? Why do we, you know, encourage people to you know, listen to the appeal of the gospel and to come to Him? Because we want people to be saved. And we know God is loving and God is patient. And we know that God will forgive us. But you see, that's not automatic. We've got to take that step. That is something we have to do. And so, the story of the Bible really is a history of sin. The story of the Bible also is this. It's not only the history of sin, but it's the history of grace. God's amazing grace to each and every one of us. And so as we study the Bible, we need to think about that, but we need to get this established. This is fundamental. This is foundation that what we are talking about today is history. It is something that happened. We're talking about real people, and we're talking about a real event. Now, one reason that I believe so much in the book of Genesis, and one reason I believe so much in this story that we're talking about today, is what Jesus said. And in Luke chapter 17, in verse 26, here's what Jesus said. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus is saying the flood was real. Jesus is saying that Noah was a real person. Jesus is saying that the ark was a real ark. That the animals went on the ark. That 8 souls that were saved went on the ark. Jesus is saying that the flood came. The flood was a real event that happened. Now, I want you to look at Genesis 6, and I'm going to try to be quick with this, but look at Genesis 6 And we'll talk now about the reasons for the flood. Look at Genesis 6:5. Why the flood came. Look at verse 5. Genesis 6. The Lord saw. So it all started with what he saw. So what did the Lord see? He saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. He saw the intent of the heart. Who knows your heart, my heart? Only God. God knows my heart. He knows the intent. He knows the motives. He saw that. He saw that the thoughts were evil continually. No thought of God. No priority of God. No relationship with God. Nothing that like that is what they were living for. So he saw. He saw what was going on. And then we go to that, to what the Lord felt. And the Bible tells us in verse 6, here's what he felt. Here's how God felt. He was grieved in his heart. Look at verse 7. Tells us about God, how he felt again. I am sorry that I made them. Does God have feelings? He sure does. Does God have emotions? He sure does. Now, why was God sorry? Why did God feel pain? Was he sorry that he made man? Did this take him by surprise? No. God wasn't sorry because of what had happened. He knew what was going to happen when he created Adam and Eve. That didn't surprise him. For what people were thinking didn't surprise God. So why was God sorry and why was he grieved in his heart? Because he knew what he had to do. And that was send the flood. God knew because of his holiness and righteousness that there wasn't anything else he could do. And so what made him sorry and what made God sad was the fact that he knew what was coming. And what was coming was the flood of judgment. So we see what he saw, we see what he felt, the reasons for the flood, what we're talking about. But what did God say? Well, that's seen in verse 7 and it's seen in verse 13. What God said here is that he's going to, you know, send the flood. He's going to destroy man whom I'm created from the face of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean annihilation. Okay? It's not talking about annihilation, destroying. Because 8 souls were saved. What he's talking about is judgment. I'm going to destroy them with the flood. The judgment of the flood is what he's talking about there. And then in verse 13, you see it again. You see what God says. You know, I will destroy them with the earth. And so the judgment came. God sent the judgment of the flood. And like I said, it was a worldwide flood. Years ago, we went took senior adults over to Branson, Missouri, and we saw Noah and the story of Noah at Sight and Sound Theater. And that was just an amazing thing to see. And they presented the story of the flood, you know, from the beginning to the end and everything. And I really enjoyed that. But all through that story, what they kept emphasizing was this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The only way to escape God's judgment is grace. The Bible says that it's appointed to man to die and after this to judgment. The Bible tells us at the end of time that there will be a judgment. That believers will appear at the judgment seat of Christ, that unbelievers will appear at what the Bible calls in the book of Revelation, the great white throne of judgment. The Bible tells us that one day this earth is going to be burned up with fire. And that there will be a new heaven, and that there will be a new earth, a new creation. What we see in the world today is the judgment from the flood of Noah. The earth was different before the flood. After the flood, we see the result of what happened back then in the earth today. You know, when you think about this story too, you think about how sin really brings pain to the heart of God. The Bible says he was grieved. The Bible says he was sorry. And see, that's what's so bad about sin. It breaks the heart of God. But that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and your sin. That's why we can have forgiveness. As Noah, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we don't have an ark to walk into, to protect us from the flood, to protect us from the judgment to come. We don't have a boat, but here's what we have. We have the ark of Jesus Christ, because Christ is our ark. Christ is our safety from the judgment to come. It is in Christ that we have forgiveness of sin. It is in Christ that we have grace. It is in Christ that we have mercy. It is in Christ that we experience the love of God. So what protects us from the judgment that is to come is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That is the solid rock that we stand on. That is the solid rock of our salvation. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what he says today? The door is open. Amen. The door to the ark is open. The door to Christ is open. Today is an opportunity. Now is the time. You can end now. You can come on in now. But one day, that door will close. And that opportunity will be gone. But today is the opportunity for His grace. If you've never received that, please do that today. We're going to give an invitation. If there's a commitment you need to make, as we appeal today to you for this invitation, if there's something there that you need to talk about, I'll be down front. Be glad to talk to you about that today. But leave today with a solid foundation. Make sure you're in the ark, okay? Make sure you're in Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our song of invitation. Father, we just thank you today for your word. And as we have looked at this chapter today, I just pray, Lord, that you'd just help us all to understand that this is foundational truth. We're talking today about history. We preach today about why things are like they are. We preach today about why Jesus had to come and die on the cross for us. Because we need grace and we need forgiveness. Lord, did I pray that we would make a priority of our life being you and our relationship with you. I pray that we would understand the importance of what it means to be ready, what it means to be prepared for the second coming. And Lord, as we think about these truths today, these principles today, I pray it's something that we can carry with us this week. And Lord, I pray that all of us could work on these things and just get things where we need to be with you. And Lord, today we just pray that if there's anyone here today who needs to make a commitment, who needs to come to you, if there's anyone here today who needs to walk into the ark, who needs to come to Christ today for salvation, I pray that they would come, and I pray that they would take this opportunity to receive you today and to receive your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.